to AU to AZ. It's episode number 3. And we've titled this The 7 C's of 21st Century Learning. Haven't we, Rodney?
Yes, we have.
How are you, Rodney?
I'm doing all right. How are you today, Jennifer?
I'm great. And Rodney Turner is in Arizona, Phoenix. Phoenix, Arizona. Wrong way around. You say?
Tomato.
And I say tomato. You say?
Ames.
And I say NAPLAN. You say?
Common Core.
And I say Australian Curriculum. And you say?
Elementary.
And I say primary. But we both say?
Learning.
Definitely, don't we, Rodney?
Yes, we do.
And tell me the temperature. Come on, I want to know.
Oh, the current temperature?
Yeah.
The current temperature in...
Your maximum today.
What was the maximum today?
Yes.
Oh, wow. You know what? I don't know that. It was probably 43.
Really? Ooh. We're running on 15 degrees today. Rather mild, 15 degrees.
I would like 15 rather than 43.
It's like you're just starting off summer, aren't you?
Well, technically, it's still spring.
Really? So in the middle of the hottest part of summer, what's the hottest you get?
The hottest we get? Well, about 20 years ago, we got up to 122.
I wonder what that is.
Hot. Oh, I'm sorry.
122.
let me convert that for you. That is 50.
50, is it? Wow.
50 yeah. Celsius.
That is hot, isn't it? I know as soon as you get over 42 is about the point. When you get over that temperature, when you walk out here, it's like an oven. You feel like you've walked into an oven and things cook.
Yes, we were at 43 today.
Yeah.
So just so you know, in eastern Arizona, it was so dry that there was more moisture in a piece of paper than there was in the air.
Really? What's the humidity down to?
Single digits.
Wow.
5, maybe 6.
That's really good bushfire weather.
Oh, yeah. Everything was, like, ready to burst into flames.
They've had some fires in California, haven't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, yeah.
It is really hot out here, but you know what? We make do.
Yep, and that's the weather report, over and out, weather report.
Done.
So, live as if you were to die tomorrow and learn as if you were to live forever. What a great saying.
It is a really good one.
It is, isn't it? Because we're always talking about lifelong learners and lifelong learning. And we hope our children develop that skill, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, it's very important to learn everything you can about anything you can.
Yeah.
All it's going to do is help you.
And to get a real enjoyment from learning. I know I read the book Punishment by Reward. Have you read that book?
I have not.
Oh, it's a very interesting book because I always like to instill in kids that when they do well at something, to feel that feeling inside, how good you feel when you've got a right answer or you've written something really well or whatever they've done, that good feeling inside can never be replaced by a sticker.
That's right.
You know, you can get stickers and put them on things and charts and things, but that really good feeling inside is just something that learning brings when you're being successful at something.
So it's more of an intrinsic reward.
It is, intrinsic rewards, and gathering those up and continuing on because you'd like that feeling, yeah, rather than being attached to stickers or those sort of things.
So with that, what specifically are we talking about today then?
Well, there was the 6 C's for 21st Century Competency, which was made by Cynthia Drew Barnes, and I looked at it and thought, well, you know, they're talking 3 R's must give way to the 6 C's, the competencies each person must master for effective functioning and citizenship in our global village. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But I actually think there are 7 because they've got connect, create, collaborate, communicate, compute, and think critically, which is 6, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm. And I guess today's is really under compute because it's about coding, isn't it?
Yes.
But I also think another one to add to that is curating because we do a lot of curating these days with the internet, gathering up and doing things with it. But today we're going to be talking about coding in particular. It seems to be a pretty lively topic at the moment. seen lots of links on Twitter, lots of people talking about coding and getting coding go in schools. And I know when I first mentioned it to you, Rodney, you weren't too keen. Tell us why.
Well, I guess I wasn't too keen because it requires a lot of practice for teachers. That practice and an understanding for teachers to be able to teach it. And to do things like coding, it requires attention. And a lot of teachers are already complaining about there's so much to do and how's that going to fit into our standards, because we've got Common Core that's coming to Arizona and they're going to be tested on it. And how does coding fit in there? So I wasn't too keen because it's like, how am I going to get teachers to do this?
So as soon as you said that, every site I've found, I've sent to you. So have you read them all? Have you kept up with them all?
Bombarded. I have not kept up with the plethora of sites you have sent me.
Bombarded. So a lot of those sites will actually be on our blog today, won't they?
Yes, it will. Yes, they will. They are all listed for you.
Site, on the Podomatic site, we'll put them on there. So people who would like to fill up their summer, which you've got in front of you, summer reading, there will be lots of different articles and websites about different sorts of coding. You know, when I'm thinking about teaching coding in elementary or primary school, Rodney, I'm not thinking about that big coding word. My coding links go back to Logo Writer, the old Logo Writer program, and I did a bit of basic computer programming. But I more think of it as logo type of things, loops, nesting loops and that sort of thing, which a lot of the new coding apps, for instance, for the iPads, allow students to do very easily using blocks like building blocks. Have you seen those? Have you seen any of those, Rodney?
You know, I haven't. I really haven't.
Right. So some of the apps like Hopscotch and Kato's Hike, Daisy the Dinosaur, they allow you to actually use like building blocks and like Scratch as well. Scratch is another one that's not actually an app, but it's a website. Scratch, isn't it, on the internet?
Yes, it is a website.
Yeah, it allows you to grab blocks.
I do know Scratch because one of the teachers that I work with, really, really good man, Joel Wisser, he loves Scratch and he uses Scratch in his classroom.
Yep.
And he pushed it enough and he got enough people to ask for it that IT has actually pushed that out to all the computers in our district.
Yep.
So we had teachers asking, what is Scratch? What is this? And so that gives an opportunity for him to teach coding. Now, what he has found is, and he'll tell you, all the kids aren't like jumping right into it and staying with it. A lot of them will jump in and they're like, oh, well, this is cool. But those that haven't learned how to think critically and to do problem solving and don't find that to be enjoyable, they fizzle out pretty quick because it requires time. It requires focus. Yeah. But those kids that do actually create things with Scratch, they are so ecstatic and they just love sharing. So I have to plug this. Tomorrow, June 7, we are doing a digital summer academy in our district, and we have over 125 people who are participating, and one of the sessions is game-based education, and Joel is going to be showing Scratch and talking about how it could be used in the classroom.
Wow, that's going to be great, isn't it?
Yes, it will.
It will. Well, Rodney, you know, when I was talking about Logo Writer earlier and my first experience with coding in schools from the dark ages, we'll get the violins out soon. You know, I first had a little Apple IIe computer with those great big discs they used to have, one for the whole school, and luckily I had it in my class somehow. And The kids that really got turned on with using that sort of a program and making procedures and sub-procedures and everything else were quite often boys who were not very good at literacy and didn't have a very good record of succeeding with much. And it didn't worry me that everyone didn't like it, but I really liked the fact that some kids were turned on who had never been turned on at school. I think we have to search around for as many things as we can. You know, you've got the kids who are turned on by sports day and you've got the kids who aren't. And it's the same with coding. If you can get some kids turned on who normally aren't, and coding's going to be the thing to do it, I reckon it's great and to go with it. But also the spin-off was that other kids had a go at it and persisted at it as well. You know, these kids who hadn't had much success, you know, I had one who sat 4 weeks and ended up with a one-word command, truck, and you would have a semi-trailer drawn on the screen by the turtle.
Wow.
You know, and he had every detail on that semi-trailer you could think of because his dad was a truck driver. And he had worked so hard to get this whole drawing down to a one-word command, truck, and it would be drawn on the screen. So, you know, he persisted and persisted, you know, debugged, all that sort of thing. And to me, I just thought, this is really worthwhile. And because then I haven't done it for years because other things have come along. I think we went into HyperCard, a bit of HyperCard type of stuff. And then we really haven't touched coding or programming for quite some time. So I'm really excited by all these apps that are coming back and getting us doing a bit more coding.
Yeah. One of the articles that you you shared with me, the journal article coding for middle schoolers was really good. It gave an understanding of why coding is very important. Papert, who helped to promote Logo, who I think was a founder of Logo, but he believed that people learn through collaboration and are engaged through personal efforts.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely right there.
Yeah.
If I'm engaged, then I know it's something that I'm personally interested in and I want to work with people to make it better, to share. So I'm right there. And so he really pushed that, and he saw that it was really important for people to be able to do that, and has pushed that coding.
Yeah. You know, you need some articles, good articles with different information about it for people who probably are wondering, well, what's all the buzz about it? Don't you?
Yes.
And
yes, that is right.
I mean, there was another one that I sent you that had that video, What Kids Don't Learn at School. And it was a bit of an ad. I think it's been made to perhaps make people stand up and look at it, coding. You know, like you said, well, it's not all easy for everybody, and everyone doesn't succeed with coding and become a millionaire. Quite often coders aren't always all that well paid and can work for a long time and not always be, you know, a star of the show. But I think that was a good video to get kids interested.
Right. My take on that was it was the glamorous side of coding and what companies do to get the best engineers, which means you have to make sure. Is it cool? Yeah. It's easy. Is it easy to get there? No. It's not easy to get to that point where they are, but you can get there.
Yeah.
You can get there. And many of these people took different roads to get there, but they still did. They were still successful, and they used that background to get to where they are and as stepping stones, that many different places, but they still use it as stepping stones. And I think that's the, to me, that's the point of the video. Hey, this is how I got here, and this is one of the ways that this is one of the things that I use.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you do need a hook for some kids to get them interested and for their eyes to open and for them to actually listen and give it a chance. You know, today we are pretty well much bells and whistles are needed, unfortunately, from just the way the kids are, and their world is all bells and whistles, basically, isn't it? So, you know, to get a bit of a hook there to draw them in to at least take a look at it and open their eyes about it, it is great. There's also some other great websites that allow you to sort of take tutorials, which are quite handy, aren't they? Because you can follow a course. Things like CodeHS. A great website there that allows you to have access to all sorts of library of videos and exercises for students to do to learn different sorts of coding.
Yeah.
That looked really interesting to me, especially for people who may not have the skills of coding themselves but can run some of these things with their class and perhaps have a bit of a go themselves. And then, you know, it's one of these things where the kids may actually teach you about it.
Oh, yeah. that's always important for kids to be able to teach. And they enjoy that.
Yeah, and to teach each other. Another one similar to Code HS is Tinker, T-Y-N-K-E-R, Tinker. And you actually have to apply to become registered with Tinker. And you need to have a class, an education address. So if you don't have an education with an EDU in your email address, well, you can submit what you've got, but it may not be accepted because you accept and you have to put in your school details and things. Hmm. And then when you are accepted, you can actually create classes and things in there and assign different sorts of lessons, and they've got lesson plans and all sorts of things. You can import Scratch projects and all sorts of things to do with curriculum managing and great stuff in Tinker. So I was very impressed with that one.
One of the things that I found is code.org.
Ah.
And it gives you essentially tutorials of how to teach it. It gets tutorials for the classroom if you're a teacher, how to a couple of sites that you just mentioned, Code HS as well as Tinker, is included in it. It gives you a curriculum that you can use inside of your class.
Yeah.
As well as how to bring the classes to your school, and also a platform in which you can use coding.
Yeah.
It talks about Alice and Kodu, Kodu, as well as Scratch.
Wow.
So it's a great resource, which...
Yeah.
In the video you just mentioned, I guess you can say it's an ad for code.org, but it gives a lot of really good things, apps and online tutorials. If you're interested in doing those different things,
it's a non-profit foundation as well. So
yes, it is.
It's very interesting. So that's another one, code.org. A really easy web address, isn't it? Code.org.
Yes.
That makes it great to know all about that, isn't it? Mm.
Yes, they scored with that one, huh?
Mm. And I guess the other great thing about coding is you're creating. So it carries on with our creating theme a bit, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
When you create things that you have put time and effort into, it's great. It's wonderful because you have that satisfaction.
So it's great they've got all those sites, isn't it, Rodney? To help people do a bit of coding, okay? But, I even still think those simple apps like Hopscotch and Daisy the Dinosaur, that app is a nice one for making a dinosaur go along and jump and draw different things and move the turtle type of things. There's another one called Kato's Hike, which is really interesting. And that one actually allows you to do all sorts of... programming, and it's sort of like has a lot of rewards in it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And kids can actually end up doing all sorts of things like loops, branches, if or else, go to labels, all those sorts of things. So you're still getting some programming type of terminology going, aren't you?
Right, you are.
And this one has 60 different levels and 12 tutorials. So and they're always adding more, apparently. And things with tutorials are really great, aren't they?
They are. They're really nice.
Because those kids who perhaps can't figure it out or something can watch some of those and try and get the gist of it. Kato's Hike teaches children age 5+, so it's for our, really young ones up to older ones, depending what levels they do. And CargoBot has been one of my favourites recently that I really have tried in the classroom. And, there's some classes I might only teach once a fortnight. Or if I miss that one, then I might see them once a month.
Wow.
So when I go into their class, I have noticed a difference from when I used to have them twice a week. So it's different because you... have a lot more trouble developing relationships with students
and
getting a rapport going. So, sometimes they're not a switch on if I'd like to be. But I know when I came in and we did CargoBot, every kid was sitting at their table doing CargoBot. There was no one who was off task. So it was quite amazing. And CargoBot has got a name of each exercise. They show you what it wants to look like, and it's got these boxes stacked up with different colours.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show you what you have to end up like. So you have to use this machine to move them, lift them up and move them across and put them down. So you have to put different across, down, up arrows in a different, in a certain order to make the robot end up with how you would like it to be, okay? And okay. You can make loops and all sorts of things like that. You only have so many spaces to fill up with these different commands. And if you use up too many spaces, you have to think again so it'll fit in. But the great thing about it is when you've got the solution worked out, you can hit record and it records your solution and the robot doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can play it and save it into your photo gallery and then put that into another app like Book Creator. So I've had kids actually who have recorded their solutions to different problems. They've made a book in Book Creator. They've also done drawings in Doodle Buddy or something like that, and they've drawn the cargo bot what they remember it looks like and done hand drawings of it all and everything and put that into Book Creator, and then they put some audios on there explaining how cargo bot works and made little books like that about cargo bot. So that's been really great.
Wow. Yeah. So what's your plan for next year as far as coding is concerned?
Next year? I'm not thinking about next year yet because we're only in the middle of this year.
Well, I mean, okay, next term.
Next term. Yeah, so next term. So next term I think we will revisit CargoBot because we really only just touched the surface of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to get a bit more thinking about loops and nested loops and things like that going with it. And I think I might like to do maybe Move the Turtle or something like that where they can do a bit of drawing and have pen down and do some, getting to do some drawing as well.
Okay.
Because you can relate that to geometry and shapes and squares and all sorts of things and get some really great angles and length and really good maths going.
Yeah, maths are great to have. Yeah. One of our schools received a 3D printer.
Really?
Yes.
So now they'll never run out of sharpeners.
I'm sorry?
So now they'll never run out of pencil sharpeners? Is that what they're going to build?
I don't know. part of what they need to do is they need to figure out how to draw with this drawing program called Blender. And I think that one of the things that they have to do is problem solving, which is kind of like coding. They have to draw it in a certain way in order for the machine to dissect that and to be able to create that image. But some of our kids are in a programming class. It's a higher level programming class, which is coding. And being that our school year just ended, I think that I will take the time next year to find out what they're doing and what programs they're using.
Yeah, it sounds a great idea. And of course there are a lot of student organizations for coding.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Computer Clubhouse in Boston? Is that really?
Yes. Yes, it is in Boston. Mm-hmm. I wish I was in Boston, number one, and a little school and an elementary to see it, to be a part of that school. It just sounds really neat.
Yeah.
Those kids get to create what they want based upon what they're already doing or what they're learning and they have questions about. And then the teacher, Joanna Boyd, is like, hey, go figure it out and then share it. Figure it out and then share it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Constructive and collaborative. And she's a facilitator and not the teacher. She's not telling them what to do or how to do it, but she's there to guide them. I see that as a project. Based learning is something that they want to do, and then they do it. And along the way, Joanna, as a facilitator, has the tools or the lessons ready on the side when they need it, and she gives it to them when they need it, not preset or to put it in their heads before they actually need it. It's right there when it's ready.
Well, I mean, a lot of these things that require persistence and that sort of thing really have a lot of uses in other places, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Because you need that as one of your lifelong skills.
Yes, that's so critical.
So, I mean, and if they actually be successful with it, they can see that it was actually a good idea, and maybe they should try it persisting in some other area where they're not so good.
Yeah, that is right.
Think we can hope?
Yes, we can hope. We can definitely hope, and I know that with the professional development of teachers and getting teachers who think that way and act that way and model that, we'll have more students that will do that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And, you know, there is a worldwide shortage of coders.
Really?
Yeah, there's a worldwide shortage of coders. And, you know, we have sort of dumbed down a lot of things, haven't we? Do you think?
Yes. You know, yes, we have.
We really dumbed down. You know, you can just turn our computer now, look at it and click on and everything and see everything. And we still didn't need those coders to do some back-end work.
Right.
And I guess it's what you appreciate when you do something like basic programming, or what did you do, Code C or something, or something like that in programming?
When I was younger, I didn't use Logo. No, I was in college when I was really first introduced to coding, and I used not basic. No. COBOL.
COBOL. I knew it was something with C. Yeah.
COBOL.
Yep.
I guess I wasn't persistent enough.
It's been great talking today about coding, and I hope some people can investigate over summer.
I for one, being one of them, will investigate more about coding.
Can you get any of these apps for your Android gadgets?
Yeah, I knew you'd go there sooner or later. I will be looking for some coding apps for my Android, and I will plug those in into the blog when I find them.
I'm sure some of these are probably available for Android as well. You can find them and let us know. And you can practice with them over summer and be an expert. Can't you?
Maybe. Yeah. Yes, I can.
Yeah. Okay, well,
that's what a good podcaster does. Figure out those things and then reports back to you.
Well, that's right. Well, thank you for today, and thank you to all our listeners for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.